This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. 11 years ago this weekend, the United States went to war in Iraq. It was just over 6 months after 9/11, and just a few months after we had gone into Afghanistan to go after, ostensibly, the people who had come to attack us on 9/11. But then suddenly we took a left turn and ended up going after Saddam Hussein, because President Bush and Secretary of State Colin Powell and CIA Director George Tenet told us that we had to, because Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, chemical, biological, not nuclear. They were talking about mostly chemical and biological weapons, and we had to go there before this, quote, madman used them against us. Now we know 11 years later that there were no WMDs there. And when we look back on how the country treated the beginning of that war and the buildup to that war, there are lots of questions that have to be asked of the media. My next guest has asked many of those questions in a terrific book called So Wrong for So Long, How the Press, the Pundits, and the President Failed on Iraq. He came out with the book several years ago, now has updated it in a special ebook edition that is available online. Greg Mitchell, welcome back to America Weekend.
Thanks. Always happy to be here.
Always a pleasure talking to you. At the time that the war started, you were an editor at Editor and Publisher, and you were on my show fairly frequently, and we talked about a lot of media-related issues. What do you think of when you think back now on the media and the war 11 years ago?
Well, actually, someone else came up with the idea last week that every March 20th, which is the anniversary of the start of the war, should be titled the Media Atonement Day, and should be marked. We didn't see many in the media marking it this year. There was some more coverage last year on the 10th anniversary. Basically, as many may recall, the media in all forms, press and TV and radio, not necessarily yourself, basically fell for and promoted the Bush administration claims, which was joined by many Democrats, that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, even including hints of nuclear and referring to a mushroom cloud that could be appearing on the horizon. On very flimsy evidence, but still the media accepted it and promoted it further, and definitely had a direct hand in laying the groundwork and beating the drum for war. And as you mentioned, it was quickly discovered that he had no WMD. In fact, the UN inspectors were on the ground in Iraq and not finding them before they were ordered out so we could start our bombing. We threw out the evidence on the ground provided by the UN because we were in such a rush to go to war, and the media by and large accepted that and then also covered the early the early weeks of the war in a very wave the flag manner. And sort of accepted the idea that also that the Bush administration promoted that we'd be welcomed as liberators and that we'd win quickly, which we did, but that would be towards the end of the story. And instead, we had to stay in Iraq another 8 years, and 4,500 Americans died, and probably hundreds of thousands of Iraqis. And every week there, we still have bombings and conflict, 50 killed here, 30 killed there. It's far from settled what's going to happen in Iraq, the country that we supposedly saved.
When we look back on it, you can actually see organizations that some on the right would normally consider to be liberal publications. I don't think right. that they live up to the billing, but the people always, the Washington Post and the New York Times, those liberal newspapers, they actually were cheerleading for the war. And the New York Times had a reporter by the name of Judith Miller, who was one of those people passing along Bush administration propaganda, right?
Right. Well, she was not alone at the New York Times. There were others, and of course, columnists there. The Washington Post, in some ways, was even worse because their news coverage was bad. But editorially and their columnists were especially rabid for the war. So, if you want to take those two examples, but, it really cut across all political lines. Yes, Fox News was, you know, was in the forefront, but, you know, MSNBC, the only real critic of the war there was Phil Donahue, and he was soon let go because he was not not on board enough with the war. So that was MSNBC, and then, you know, other networks as well. They're just, it, for people who didn't experience it, now, you know, I experienced it firsthand as you mentioned, as the editor, editor, and publisher, and I was warning about this, and then I wrote about it for years, you know, and you mentioned my book, So Wrong for So Long. It basically chronicles not just the run-up to the war, but the many years after of coverage, and it's because I was continuing to follow it so closely. I mean, I was one of the few people who was logging the soldier suicides, which no one particularly cared about until recently, but I was one of the few people out there who was noting this incredible toll of soldiers both there and back home killing themselves after serving in the war. And so the book tries to you know, chronicle it so that people don't forget. I'm afraid we saw this year there was very few in the media even took note of the anniversary, let alone you know, explained or probed or admitted their failures,
yep,
which I thought was really appalling. And so, you know, I always hope that my book, you know, is really a history of what happened. And so I always have an extra drive to try to keep that alive because it's really terrible if people forget, because it's certainly something that the media and the American public should keep in mind, how easy it is to, you know, to go to war, get caught up with it when, you know, when you're getting fed, you know, false evidence.
Do you think the media have learned a lesson?
I think to some extent, you know, when things come up like we all, you know, we almost attacked Syria just a few months ago.
Yep.
And there was still some poor reporting and there was some poor editorializing and places calling for us to go to war. But there were, you know, less than there might have been. There was still plenty, but it took, you know, protests and it took, you know, criticism from abroad and so forth that kind of stopped Obama at almost the last minute. So I think there is, you know, there is some of that. I'd like to see more of it, though. I'm just not convinced that the media have really learned their lessons on this. So I you know, I sort of continue to write about that. And
I got to be honest, Greg, I think if there were another Colin Powell at the UN moment, mm-hmm. we'd fall right back into the same pattern.
Yeah, well, we saw that's you know, as I show in the book, that Colin Powell's UN speech was, the Washington Post was worse than anyone on covering that, and it was just accepted that, well, surely he wouldn't be misleading people, and so I'm you know, as I said, you know, we're seeing the conflict now possibly with Russia, hopefully not military over the Crimea episode. But, you know, the recent Syria example is a better example because yep. it really was a case where we could, more like Iraq, we could go in there and bomb if we wanted. We could, you know, even invade if we wanted. No big country was going to stop us. You know, let's not forget, Obama really announced pretty much he was going to start doing that and then, you know, basically changed his mind at the last minute. So, you know, I think it's fresh enough that the media have learned some lessons. But like you, I'm not confident that this, you know, this couldn't happen again.
I have to ask you about one kind of bizarre story in all this, because we talk about war and death and sad things and the media and their complicity in the build-up to it and the bad follow-up to it. But is it true that MTV stopped playing the B-52s, Love Shack and My Own Private Idaho and Rock Lobster and other B-52 songs because B-52 is the name of a warplane?
Yeah. Well,
that's true?
Yeah, I posted something this week about that, that's going back to that. No, yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, they basically were you know, banning all songs that could be taken as anti-war or even commentary on war soldiers.
How does Love Shack qualify as anti-war?
Well, the name. You have to show B-52s when you, you know, when you, you know, put their name up on the screen, you know.
Oh.
I know, it's bizarre, but people forget. And again, I think my book shows the fervor. We don't forget they wanted to rename French fries Freedom Fries.
Not wanted to, they actually did. That was the Congress of then. The book is a terrific read. So Wrong for So Long, How the Press, the Pundits, and the President Failed on Iraq. It's out now in an e-book format from Greg Mitchell. Thanks so much for joining me again, Greg.
Anytime. Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Networks.
America Weekend.